Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Mark Labner to 101.9 Hi FM. Good afternoon, Mark. How are you?
Fine, Kath. Good to see you. Nice to hear from you.
It's lovely to speak to you again. Yeah, COVID-19's kept you busy, right?
We've certainly had to be nimble. We've certainly had to be very responsive. I think we woke up with a bit of a shock to realize that our position in the township communities warranted that we were no longer just a child and youth development outfit, but necessarily had to respond to food security, sanitization issues, and frankly also dealing with a huge amount of fear. We realized the responsibility we had was far greater than that which we'd had previously.
I want to talk about Africa Tikkun in a little while and what you're doing, but really ahead of Mandela Day on the 18th, on Saturday, I wanted to get some anecdotal stories. You knew the man. You had a very strong relationship with him. What are the things that really touched you that you will always remember about him, Mark?
Gosh, there's so many. I think just being in his presence, there was always this incredible aura, which could possibly best be defined as authentic. Yeah. There was never an occasion where I ever felt that he was anything other than totally sincere. He would sit and he would be able to give you attention in the short time that you might have had. Our meetings used to last anywhere from 30 minutes to 45 minutes at a time because he was president of the country. He had important things to do, yeah. Far more important than sitting and talking to me. But in that short period of time, he would address you with such a degree of intensity and he would listen to what you had to say, that you felt that the experience was complete. So I think that's probably one of the most remarkable elements of the man. And to an extent, I think that that's what a lot of our politicians currently are lacking. They haven't been, even if they are listening, they're not giving you the sense that they're listening to you and to your issues.
Yeah, there certainly is a pervasive feeling of powerlessness, and I think it's across all South African citizens. That the government is just going ahead and doing what they want. Nobody's held accountable. There certainly is that. And I very much doubt that that would have been the case had he still been in power, which, of course, would have been impossible. But, I mean, do you remember when he actually said that he would take a salary cut? He said his salary was far too high.
And I remember when he first took office, he took a cut in his salary, I think, almost as assigned to everybody else that we were all going to have to necessarily look at some element of austerity if we were to share greater and reduce this Gini coefficient, which is so prevalent in the country at the moment. But you know, Kath, just quickly if I may, you know, we're very quick often to criticize our government and President Ramaphosa as well. But in truth, desperate times call for desperate measures. And I'm not suggesting that the measures that are taken are necessarily to be criticized in and of themselves. I think it's to do with the way our politicians listen. There isn't that sense that Madiba gave, even the smallest of the small are heard.
He validated everybody. I think that was a big part, is that he gave everybody validation.
Yeah, you know, our President Ramaphosa has followed a process of typical to the ANC, consensus, discussion, debate, but unfortunately hasn't been able to get across the line in making people feel heard, not across the masses.
Yeah. How did you come to meet Nelson Mandela?
It was a very funny story because he had phoned calling for my father. My father had a history with him. In fact, when he was imprisoned, my parents had been engaged in helping to fund the kids' education.
Yeah.
And when Mandela was released, my dad was one of the names on the list of corporate leaders that were called to give more than they had already in service of the country.
Right.
And he called one day, and the call was put through to my office rather than to my father's, who was overseas at the time. And he wanted a young child operated on who had a particular facial deformity that skill base didn't really exist in South Africa. So he called requesting support. And I think he anticipated that it was going to be a simple matter of writing out a check and, you know, we'll be able to fund the operation. But when I realized that the skill didn't exist in the country, and when I recognized that we could impart that skill by bringing foreign surgeons to South Africa to teach local surgeons, because our surgeons are more than capable, as has been proved. And that turned out to be the Smile Foundation.
Incredible. So you've actually started two organizations from two conversations, two separate conversations with Nelson Mandela.
No, I can't claim credit for having started Africa Tikkun was my dad's and the late chief rabbi's initiatives. Yeah. And I simply applied for a job there some 16 years ago, you know, anticipating that I'd give a year or two working alongside my dad. And was just enamored with the spirit of youth in the townships, who I realized were highly intelligent and motivated, had a relatively high EQ because of his cell phone penetration, and who wanted lives. They didn't want to be on social security grants. They wanted livelihoods. They wanted careers. And that just hooked me, and that's been a passion, a burning passion, for the last 16 years.
And what a blessing. What a blessing you are. Really, Mark, you do incredible, incredible work. I can firmly say that the world is a better place because you have lived in it and because Mandela had lived in it. And, thank you very much.
I'm quick to tell you that really and truly it's very much the team. That was the other element. Mandela was, whilst he was a world icon, you know, he was very cognizant of people that were around him. You know, we all know the story of how he adopted his PA from FW.
Zelda Lakhanji, from FW.
You know, that was Madiba. That was his, one of the most important legacies was his ability to work teams so that the load was shared. We've got to get back there again. So if not for a second, can I take credit for the developmental efforts of Africa Tikkun? It really has been a team.
Message coming through for you from Garen Cohen. He says, what wonderful work Tikkun Olam do. The Lubners are an amazing family. I was very fond of Bertie. He is sorely missed.
Yeah, that's a wonderful comment, and it's certainly appreciated by a man of that caliber and that ilk and that professionalism.
Yeah. Mark, this is where we have to leave it, but thank you very, very much. And just keep us updated on what's happening with Africa Tikkun. Maybe in the coming weeks we can talk about some of your projects that you're doing as well. It's a fascinating organization, and I think that it has definitely grown beyond the initial scope.
Thank you very much, Kathy.
Thank you so much.
Well, please go just to all the listeners just to stay safe. And just a message to say the only way we're actually going to overcome not only COVID, but more importantly poverty, is by collaborating collectively together. We mustn't do all our own individual things. We've really got to work collectively and across the board, bringing cradle to career, as we call our model, to fruition in a much broader context than just our centers. So God bless to you all and to all your listeners, and may we all stay safe.
Amen. Thank you so much. Shabbat shalom. And we'll catch up with you in the next few weeks. God bless, Mark. Bye-bye. God bless.